You'll never have to worry about the Zingbot making a comment about your appearance when you check out our free trial of Beachbody On Demand. You can check out all of the different workouts available for 30 days and do top-of-the-line workout routines in the comfort of your very own home by texting the word ROB to 303030. That's 30 days free of Beachbody On Demand just by texting the word ROB to 303030. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the official podcaster of Planet Zing. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. And we're very excited because we've got a really great show for you guys here live on Wednesday, August 23rd, because we have a woman who not only is worth a couple of fun points. She knows about the Zingbot, and she knows about a man who seems to have things on lockdown in the Big Brother 19. Please welcome back to the podcast the great Big Meech, Michelle Meyer. Michelle, how are you?
Yay, I'm doing great. It's good to be back. I haven't been on here in forever, and you couldn't have picked me for a better episode. I love Zingbot, and I'm super excited to talk about what just went down tonight.
Okay, well, very excited to have you here, Meech, and I've been waiting to catch up with you all season, so really excited to get into that. Also, with me is often the recipient of my zings off the podcast. Here is the great Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm hanging in there.
Hanging in there. What's on your shirt? That's an eagle on a guitar?
Yeah, I don't know. It's from some like music festival I worked back in the day, Virgin Music something. Okay. So I don't know. I like the shirt.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's I like it too. Right, Big Meech?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. We're going to take your questions, hashtag RHAP, and we're on pins and needles over here because in the morning, I'm taking off to head out to Salt Lake City, Utah for the second ever RehabCon. We're going to be doing the News AF 100th episode celebration. We got a big Survivor panel. We're going to play the Survivor Family Feud in person as well. If you can make it out this weekend, if spur of the moment, you can still get some tickets at RehabCon.com or click on the banner of Rob'sWebsite.com. All right, so let's get into this. I guess we have to start with our top story at this hour. No, it's not these allegations that President Zing has been conspiring to win the election from last year, Big Meech, that we saw that the Zingbot was on the campaign trail last summer. Apparently, mm-hmm. he won despite many controversies, but now they're saying that he conspired to collude with what, President Punton? Is that what we're going with? Well, I think it's all fake news, Big Meech.
I didn't get that whole backstory. I was kind of confused.
It's like they just like made it up randomly. It's like, yeah. I don't even know where they get this stuff from. But yeah. Anyway, so the Zingbot was back, and we were talking real quick before the show. The Zingbot was pretty ruthless tonight, pretty tough.
Yeah, like it made last season seem like a cakewalk. No one was called fat or, you know, their appearances weren't insulted like this year.
Yeah, the Zingbot really. Alex, is it fair to say that have the house guests talked about any bullying from the Zingbot this season?
I mean, you know, yeah, I guess everyone got theirs. So I think really they were just excited to see somebody else in the house, A, and then B, also just know that they are going to be on TV and get that moment of, you know, recognition. That's kind of a recognizable moment in every season.
Michelle, you bring up a good point because this is a season where we have heard a lot about a house guest. Okay, you're bullying me. I got bullied. No, you started the bullying. Do you think that we're on thin ice with the Zingbot? Do you think that we could potentially, and it doesn't seem like it was the case this season, but do you think that we're in a point where a house guest could take a zing the wrong way and then really lash out at production for coming too hard for them?
If production called me fat, I would probably self-evict. So I think that was, luckily they all took it pretty well, but yeah, I think it's hilarious, but it's definitely going from like kids, like family oriented show to a little bit more mature audience, especially with the Alex one. And then Christmas is Common after.
Well, yeah. I mean, my son was upstairs, who he's going to be 4 next month. And like, I'm always trying to like, just like get him like a little interested in these shows that I talk about. And then when they're like, tonight, the Zingbot is coming into the house. He's like, what's that, Dad? I was like, well, there's a robot that's coming into the house. He's not that nice. He's going to make a lot of jokes. He's a jokester. And he was like really interested in the Zingbot. And then the Zingbot shows up and his eyes are glued to the screen. He's like, Mark, you're bisexual. Yeah. It's like, all right, come on. All right, Zingbot, take it easy.
It's 8:23.
Yeah. So Zingbot. Little PG-13 from the Zingbot. But yeah, he did have, you know, he really came hard for some people and not so hard for others. You want to talk
Paul's
through it,
a
Michelle?
Joke. That was a joke. I mean, no, everyone has been giving him crap about losing $500,000 for the past year. So I don't get, they told him to shut the, I don't know if I can swear on here, but you know, they used that bleeping noise last year, and I felt like that one was way worse than it was this year, even though that one wasn't even that bad.
Yeah. So, Michelle, going down the list, okay, you tell me if they got off easy or not. Mark, you might be bisexual, because every time you tried to get sexual with Elena, she said bye.
I thought that one was... that was fine. I mean, was that diary room session of Mark crying, was that because of the Zingbot comment, or was that earlier? Because I had assumed that was earlier.
I couldn't tell. I thought that we might have gotten like a montage of Mark crying about stuff there, Alex. Do you know? Was that in response to that Zing?
I don't know. Let's go with yeah.
Okay. Sure. He's a sensitive guy.
He's a sensitive soul.
Maybe one of the more controversial Zings of the night was, Alex, you sure do carry around a lot of dead weight. Also known as Jason. Was that fair to Jason to be called dead weight out of anybody in the house?
I think it's production kind of interfering with game a little bit. I mean, they're kind of exposing like Alex kind of working with him. And in my point of view, I don't think that one was very cool. They could have thought of a better one for Jason, I think. But
well, to be fair, totally. I mean, she did out them as that's my ride or die when Derek came into the house. So it's not like that like a secret pair or anything like that.
She but did
I
do that.
But I do feel like that for Jason, who has won some competitions, won the veto in this episode, to say that he's just dead weight. I don't even know if he's in the top 3 of dead weight on this season.
Yeah, I don't think he's dead weight at all. I mean, they balance themselves out. I mean, Jason's won a ton of competition, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and it's funny because, like, a lot of times his instinct has been, like, kind of good, and then Alex has steered him consistently off of the thing that he would do that might put him in a more powerful position. So kind of funny when you think about it from that perspective.
Michelle, I'll tell you what, that this house, though, they were living for these zings from the Zingbot, especially Josh. I mean, this was like some sort of like a comedy special where people were just like going nuts in the crowd for anything. The Zingbot was killing.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed Josh's commentary. I thought him cracking up was hilarious. I enjoyed him in this segment.
Should the Zingbot have fat-shamed Josh?
No.
I don't think that Josh is that fat. I mean, I don't think that he's gained that much weight from the start of the season. If anything, I feel like he's lost weight. I mean, I haven't been watching it super close. But to me, I mean, he looks skinnier than when we started.
I know, but they took such like a soft point of his, because if you remember when Cody and Jessica called him fat, he was bawling. So the fact that they would like use this on him kind of sucks. While me, when they call me a baby, I could care less. I know, like, I don't know. It didn't hit me hard whenever anyone else called me a baby. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you take it hard? I don't remember how you like, what did the Zingbot say to you?
They said there's a new baby announcement in the Big Brother house. She sleeps all day, is always throwing up, and never stops crying. Welcome, Big Meech. And I didn't think that was bad at all. I mean, all those are true, so.
Okay.
I don't know that you were always throwing up, and then it seems like
I know. I threw up like 3 times.
Just like a really emotional person.
Exactly.
Yeah. There you go. There's one.
There you go. Yeah. All right. So let's get to. Okay. So he called Josh fat. It seemed like that Josh was okay with it, right?
Yeah.
Alex,
was he?
Yeah. I mean, he did all right. You know, he hung in there. I think it's always funny. Like, that is the kind of funny part about Josh's character, right? Is that he's like, he takes such glee in like other people's, you know, like, I got you. And then when it's turned around, he's like, when it's turned around, he's like, wait, that's not cool. You know, like, so
yeah,
it is funny. It's a funny character trait.
Okay.
But I don't think he was bothered like too bad. He certainly wasn't like devastated.
Okay, good.
He didn't take it like to heart the way he did when like Cody and Jess.
Okay,
were, like,
good. Then
stuff.
Right. If he's not that hurt, then it was funny ish.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't love it. Clearly didn't love it. You know, you could tell in his face right in that moment that he's like trying to be like, yeah, it's good. But yeah, I mean, it's a low blow. What can you do? What can you do?
Let's talk about Raven, because she got one of the worst zings of the night from the Zingbot. I happen to have the clip here. Let's hear what the Zingbot had to say for Raven.
Oh, poor Raven. You got the
The whole time she's like, wait, what?
I know.
What's the problem?
Where's this going?
The problem.
This is the worst punishment ever.
Okay.
Oh, wait. That's just your face.
Is it better or worse, Michelle, when the contestants don't get what the Zingbot is talking about?
Ugh, gosh. I can't believe she didn't have any clue. Like, she's the only one that wears the like this bright lipstick. And you know what was funny? Matt was cracking up so hard, more than anyone else. And I think that was the best part.
Zingbot is so petty. He should wear the petty bot.
The petty hat.
Petty hat, yeah. So they really came hard for Raven. Alex, how did Raven take that after the fact?
Well, yeah, she didn't like get it. So ignorance is bliss, right? Like, just I'm gonna go do another thing. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, I mean that's kind of nice. But I mean, I think like from a viewer's perspective, it is like kind of funnier when they don't get it, because it's just
yeah.
I don't know.
All right. So, Paul, we touched on that. Paul, you taught me so much. Friendship, piss, and then how to lose 500K. And Alex said, Michelle, well, Paul, I felt bad when he lost to Nicole, but I won't feel bad when he loses to me this season.
Wow. Sure.
Planting the flag on that one.
Yeah, zings on you, Alex.
Okay. Matt, they said, congrats on making it so far in the game. The only thing you've done is Raven.
That was good. He seemed really shocked. Like, they...
Well, he was like, well, I guess it is true, you know.
It's funny because they seem to like be maintaining this dialogue like throughout, and just like to other people in the house on feeds and stuff, that like they're not having sex in the house, which they're totally having sex in the house. So,
the condom stash.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, we can touch on that when we get to the live feeds, Meech.
They think they have like the most kept secret in the Big Brother history.
Yes. The true den of temptation was found.
Oh my God.
All right.
That's
I guess
amazing.
That might be worse than like putting your hand in the snake's mouth. All right. Kevin, I hear you like to use saran wrap to keep your youth. Too freaking late. Oh my God. That was uncalled for Kevin, who flipped the double bird to the Zingbot.
He didn't even bow to Zingbot.
No, he does not respect the Zingbot.
I thought that was funny. I love how much pride he has. And you can tell he was genuinely like pissed.
He did not care for that. So then we got to Alex. And then it's weird when we bleep and censor the zings, so it's sort of hard to fill in the blank,
especially with a one word punchline,
right? Yeah. But here's what the Zingbot said to Alex.
What do you call someone with bleached blonde hair? and handles lots of wieners.
What do we think he's saying?
I'm filling in the blank here. It's like match game now. It's like, what is
I've been seeing lots of stuff on Twitter, so.
Yeah. I don't know. From what I understand, the Zingbot said
they got
hooker.
The whiteboard. Yeah, I could see that. That, you know, some variation of, evening worker was my take on that as well. Yeah.
I think what's worse was Christmas's comments after saying, she wears low-cut tops. Like, right. If her job doesn't work out for her, she can...
Yeah, Michelle, well, hold on a second. Let me go ahead and play that for you. Here's what Grandma Christmas had to say about Alex.
Zingbot, you forgot to mention her perpetually low-cut bras. Those things are dangerously close to popping out.
Yeah, who asked you, Christmas?
I know. Last time I checked, Christmas walks around in sport bras, too, so...
Yeah,
like I give Christmas credit. Like it must be tough to be trapped in the Big Brother house and be unable to move and not gain weight. Like, I don't know. Like I give her a lot of credit that she's just like, you know, she can't exercise and she's got nothing to do. And somehow she's still like maintaining pretty good shape. Yeah, she looks great. But yeah, like what the hell, man? Like this it's really not cool. And not for nothing. The first person who like had a, wardrobe malfunction on the feeds was Christmas, so she shouldn't be throwing stones in the glass house.
I don't even know why the show put that in there. It just was so catty for Christmas to say that about Alex. I don't even know what purpose it served.
Yeah, it didn't segue to like a Christmas thinking about getting rid of Alex on her HOH or anything. It was just like dropped in there. It's just like random.
Yeah, so I thought that was tough. That was tough on Christmas's behalf. But don't worry. Karma was going to get Christmas by the end of the night because the Zingbot, who really was, the Zingbot talks so slow that they can do like 20 minutes with the Zingbot to just tell like 8 jokes. And he really came for Christmas, but he had set up Christmas. You have such a good heart. There'll be no coal in your stocking this year. But then for the first time ever in my memory, the Zingbot broke into song to say this.
However, you will find 10 shattered bones, 9 weeks in a cast, 8 surgeries, 7 more x-rays, 6 years of rehab, 5 titanium screws, 4 hospitals, 3 pain pills, 2 crutches, and a guilty rodeo clown.
I'm so distracted by Paul's laughing in that clip. I wish we could just take that out.
I can't. 6 years of rehab, I thought, was rough from the Zingbot.
Yes. Oof.
Yeah.
It's really.
And only tough. 2 the pain pills. I was like,
yeah, there should be.
Yeah.
There should be more.
I think there should always be more pain pills than years of rehab.
Right.
Somehow that seems.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm not a doctor. But, you know.
Yeah. The Zingbot really did bring it tonight. So a lot to say. And maybe in some way that this was, so many people have been complaining about this cast and not Christmas's cast, but the cast overall. So maybe this was a little bit of a catharsis for the viewers of the show, especially for the live feed viewers.
Oh, if I was a viewer, I would think this is all hilarious. I just kind of feel bad for some of them because, when you get stabbed in, an area where your self-esteem is kind of a little bit iffy, it really does hurt, especially when you're in that house.
Yeah. I mean, and when you've been on feeds for like 60 days, like there's plenty of material. They know exactly what to go for,
Yeah, they
know
they
by
do.
Now.
I mean, even with Christmas, like she was really upset, about not being able to, move really right now. So they got her good.
All right. Michelle, let's talk about Paul and what he's been up to. First off, you spent so much time with him in Big Brother 18. He came back, and I have to say, been very impressed with what he's been able to pull off this season. I did not think that he had this gear to go to with his game. Have you been impressed watching Paul in Big Brother 19?
Me? Yeah. I mean, I think he's playing a really good game, but the thing is, you have to have a susceptible cast, which I think these people are very susceptible to, like, just going with the leader, if you will. So I don't know. I think it's a balance of both things. But I mean, yeah, he's probably going to make it to final three at least.
So what, in your mind, was the difference between a season where, even though we had a veteran win the game, that there was at least seemingly more of a resistance in people wanting to target the vets last season?
Well, I think because there's four of them. So they kind of almost gunned, like Frank and Day were gunning for each other. So it's more of, he has no, like, he doesn't have any other vets to go up against him. And everyone sees him as this, like, bed of knowledge and advice and just this, like, veteran, if you will, that can guide them along the way, which isn't a good way to look at someone.
Yeah, totally.
That
totally
has an advantage in the game.
I think when you have, like, the multiple veterans on some level, like, you could look at it the one way where it's like, oh, they can work together and dominate the game, but they also all want control. And so if they're all going to be fighting over, like, majority control, then it's going to create this dynamic. And your season was extra interesting because, like, yeah, you had the four vets, but also you had two siblings of former players who have, like, obviously more knowledge coming in than you guys do as new players.
Right.
So, I mean, that even added more to it where, like, Paulie and Tiffany were certainly, like, really trying to interject and, you know, control the game from the onset.
So, Michelle, I want to ask you about this plan that Paul has hatched where he's with all of these different pairs in the game right now. And I see a potential problem, and I want to get your take on how you think Paul is going to be able to work this out. So, all right, Mark is on the block. Mark is the one person you could take out easily. Nobody's going to be upset if Mark goes home. But Paul has aligned himself with all these other pairs. And so what happens at a point where next week we have, say, a Matt and Raven targeted by one of the pairs, or you have a Josh and Christmas targeted by one of the pairs, or even an Alex and Jason targeted by one of the pairs? Because Paul's strategy is to have the pairs target each other. But how does Paul end up playing this where, okay, he's supposedly in a final three with each of these groups? So how does he simultaneously maintain, when he's with Matt and Raven, how upset he is about what Christmas and Josh did, and then go back to Christmas and Josh and then act like he's happy about what they did, and then never have the two sides compare notes?
I think everyone is just so, like, he just goes over their heads. Like, they're so trusting in him that they feel the need that if they got caught asking to, like, compare notes, like, they would get in trouble for it and they would become the new target. So I think just out of fear and just dumb trust.
Because what he has said is that, okay, well, then I'm working with these pairs, and when one of them goes home, the other one will work with me. But say in the case of, say, like Matt and Raven, where one of them goes up on the block, and unless it's like a blindside for the week that they are going home and they get backdoored, after that happens, I mean, when, say, Matt goes home in a blindside, isn't Raven going to be going nuts and then very confused about why Paul isn't also going nuts about their group of three being blindsided? Like, how does he play it both ways?
He's very, very good. I don't know if you guys have ever, like, yeah, you guys have seen him. When people accuse him of something, this is what he does. He will just, like, ask, he'll do it, call them out in front of everyone, and then just, like, ask them specific details, like, why did you say this? Who said this? When have I ever done this? And in that moment, that person can't, he did it to me, and I've seen him do it, like, three times this season. They can't think clearly and give him, like, the information to expose him. So they just look stupid and untrustable. So I don't know. I think he's going to be fine.
So he's almost got to get, like, let's say Josh wins HOH next week and they go for Alex and Jason and get one of them out of the house. Then after the fact, he's got to then huddle up with them and say, okay, look, I'm going to go and I'll pretend that I'm actually mad at you, and then I'll yell at you in front of everybody to keep my cover, and then I can explode in front of the house and call you guys out for blindsiding Alex, and then nobody will think we're working together. That's what he's got to try to sell?
Yeah, I think he's all about fake fights. He's all about pushing buttons and making people explode. So I think he's going to be unless people start really like banding together to get him out, I think he's going to go far still.
Alex, what do you think of this? Do you think that Paul has anything to worry about when the pairs do inevitably target each other?
Not so much. And I mean, I guess it's something, you know, we can get into it. I mean, there's more kind of that have come like on feeds today, I guess, along these notes. But the key, I think, to his game moving forward is to convince, you know, because, yeah, you're right. He's aligned himself as the third wheel to three different pairs. And going forward, it would seem to present a problem to start, you know, getting those pairs to target each other. But the key, and, you know, I mean, to his credit, what he's done a good job of doing is starting to convince certain pairs that, okay, we have to target this pair now, but this one individual from this pair, and, you know, the most obvious example being Matt and Raven, we get rid of Matt, we can drag Raven to the end. You know, Raven doesn't need to trust Paul at that. Like, Raven is isolated effectively because Paul's put in the legwork with the other two pairs to say, like, look, we can just take her to the end and then cut her at, like, five or four or something. So at that point, he's kind of already done the damage control ahead of time to convince them that Raven is just someone to be carried along to help them get to the end. And they're going to, you know, go along with the plan, thinking that they still have a better position than the individual who, quite honestly, Paul should now be pairing up with and going further with.
I also just want to reset hashtag RHAP to get your questions in. We're going to probably take them a little bit earlier because Scott St. Pierre is at the podcast, the podcast movement, and is going to be attending the Academy of Podcasters Awards later on tonight to see maybe if Robert's podcast brings home some more hardware. He's crossing his fingers to see. Michelle, if Paul wins HOH again between now and the final four, is he doing something wrong?
No, I think he can win HOH and be just fine. What, personally,
if he's the one putting one of these pairs on the block, isn't that going to be a problem for him? Even winning the veto?
No, because the majority, he has the two other pairs, and it's just that one person that's pissed off. These other two think that they're safe and they're golden, and which they are, but it's going to be that one person.
Alex, we saw that Paul threw the HOH competition to Christmas. I think that Paul having to win competitions, I think, actually compromises his position.
Yeah, potentially. But, you know, I mean, we've seen him do a really good job so far of not alienating more than one pair at a given moment. You know, I mean, Jess and Cody are house targets until they're gone. And then he's very smart about icing out, you know, Mark and Elena without doing it to people they were close with. I mean, they at one point were very close with Matt and Raven, but he separated that before icing them out. He convinced Matt and Raven to turn on them and then made them public enemy number one. So he's done a very good job of making sure that, like, by the time he's ready to turn on you, when you look around, he's already put in a lot of, you know, he's working that much harder than everybody. That's really what it comes down to. He's working a lot harder at this game. And so when people are going to, like, campaign to save themselves, usually, like, they're already on the block, but he's already done the work to see them out the door.
Michelle, we've heard Paul talk a lot about what he's learned from Big Brother 18. Do you see a different guy than you saw in Big Brother 18?
Not really. I kind of see that, like, he's Paul with power, basically. He's how he was when he had power in the house, but he's been in power all season long. The one thing I think is funny, though, is he's convinced all these people that the back door is the only way to do nominations, because we've seen so many, even though it's not a real back door anyways.
So, but of course, in Big Brother 18, probably the most chaotic point of the season was at the point where it looked like Paulie had a lot of control in the house, and then suddenly he didn't. And we've sort of made that comparison all season long. Do you think it's possible that Paul in the house ends up suffering a similar fate to what happened to Paulie Calafiore around this time in your season?
I kind of want to see that. That would make great TV, spice up the season. So let's hope for it.
So in your mind, what was it that Paulie Calafiore did wrong that Paul needs to avoid?
kind of, he just did a worse job at making sure everyone was trusting him. Because what really came down to is he made final three deals with two different pairs, but they compared notes. So it could be the same exact thing. Who knows?
Okay. We'll see. We'll see. And if he can spin his way out of it, I mean, it feels like that he is even more protected at this point in this game. But I guess we'll have to see once people start to come for each other. And that's why it really has not been a ton of drama in this week. It's just that there's nobody out there willing to stick their neck out Mark.
I think the big difference, right, is that like more people on Big Brother 18, I think, were like they weren't willing to, you know, especially with, you know, people that have played before and people that have been blindsided before, like Nicole had been. I mean, it's an advantage, you know, to know what it's like on your way out the door, to know what it's like when everyone's lying to you for a week and then get evicted, like to have experienced that, you know. Mm-hmm. Rob, you've talked about that with like Tyson, you know, how he came back having played Survivor a couple times and he's like, man, I was so much better the third time because I know what it looks like when people are trying to lie to me and trying to blindside me. Like, I knew all the tells. So, I mean, I think there really is something there where it's like Paulie was playing with people who were constantly checking to make sure that the position he was telling them they were in was actually the position they were in. And that really isn't something that's going on this year.
And no one's trying to expose him. Luckily, we had us girls that would expose Paulie and be like, he's running the house, you know, and call him out. But no one's willing to do that. Everyone's just bowing down to Paul.
Yeah. Do you feel like that Big Brother gave Paul too much power early on in the season between the friendship bracelets and then allowing him the opportunity to win 3 weeks of immunity?
Yeah, I do. 3 weeks is a lot. And they, once, you know, you have those 3 weeks, you're pretty much like integrated in the cast. So I don't know. Jason Roy didn't get 3 weeks, did he?
No.
But he still made it to final two. But that just shows that being the only vet in the house is such an advantage. Even Paul said it. He's like, being a vet so much easier. Like, so.
Yeah.
He didn't. Yeah. He already has an advantage being the vet. He doesn't like giving guidance and advice to people. He doesn't need 3 weeks of safety.
And I do. I mean, the friendship bracelet element is so interesting. I mean, Rob, I think you were the first one to point this out that I remember hearing. But, you know, the more I think about it, really, you know, it sets him up as this authority figure. And I mean, the way people do run around and do talk, it is like Paul is, you know, like he's the guy in charge. He's like the one parent in the room full of kids. I mean, so I think that definitely lended itself to that mindset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not his first rodeo, you clowns. Okay.
Ugh.
So, Michelle, are there any new players that particularly speak to you?
I love Ramses. Oh my God.
Yes. From on the show, or you guys are friends off the show?
Off the show. We met at Reality Rally and Jillian, and they're so awesome.
They give kids the world.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yes. Sorry.
Yes. Please.
Hearts of Reality.
Yeah. So now you're tight with Ramses. He's going to be on the show next week. So looking forward to checking in with Ramses from this season.
He's a hoot.
Next Thursday night, we're scheduled to have Ramses on the show.
Sweet.
What about the people that are still in the house? Do you have a horse in the race?
Not really.
Nobody? There's nobody you're pulling for?
No, people were asking me like all at Hearts of Reality, like who are you like rooting for? I'm like, I'm rooting for Ramses.
Yeah.
He's out of the house, but I'm still voting, like rooting for him. I don't know. You have a second favorite. Right now.
Are you rooting for Paul to win?
No.
Pissed.
No friendship.
Why not? Why don't you want Paul to win?
He's just had so, like, it's just such a big advantage in the game. I mean, he is playing really well, but I don't know. Like, if he did win, I wouldn't be, like, mad about it, but I would like to see a newbie win, personally.
Okay.
Michelle, do they owe you a royalty check? I was thinking about this earlier. Do they owe you some kind of, like, acknowledgement or recognition for the theme this season? Did they get, like, the idea for Temptation and Apples from you throwing an apple at Paul?
I swear. They had an apple room.
It's Paul. It's apples. It's too many coincidences.
Yeah.
For that to be,
and
like,
snakes.
From you.
Yes. Yes. A lot of stuff was borrowed from
I thought that was
Big
insane.
Brother 18.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I want to take some questions from the listeners tonight and questions for Big Meech. Question from Lauren asks, why didn't production save this comp for next week when Christmas couldn't compete as the outgoing HOH? Meech, as a super fan, I'm sure you know that typically this challenge is played for HOH. Here it was played for Vito. Why do you think that was?
Ours was Vito, too.
Was it a Vito?
It was. And it's usually the final eight. And production plans all their competitions out, so they're not going to make any special accommodations for Christmas.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, Christmas.
Sorry.
Okay.
I do miss seeing this on feeds, though. I wish it was still an HOH comp because it was fun. You know, it'd last for hours and people would be falling around. I think it's less fun to watch as like a montage. You know, I mean, you get some good, you know, quick edits and stuff with people like talking in the diary room about how they're going to win and then falling on their face. But I like that in conjunction with getting to see it in feeds.
You know what? I could give or take this. I find it, you know, whether it's on feeds or live, I'm sleep. Sleep emoji during this challenge. Jeremy Crowther, should BB consider changing the veto draw? Maybe opt in. These backdoors are getting tired without any blindsides. Michelle, is it the house or do you think that there is something wrong with the veto selection process?
No, it's the house. Paul's convinced them that the only way to play Big Brother is you don't put the target on the block right away. So, no, it's just how it is this year. I haven't seen a problem. Do you guys?
I think it's this season. Like we've been asked this a couple times on the show, like, is the back door broken and stuff like that? And it's like, no, you know, the back door works fine for like what it's designed for. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it is funny when you've got, yeah, like eight people against Mark and then Mark somehow gets picked to play in veto and Jason's like freaking out. It's like, man, the odds are still really, really in your favor. Like there's nothing to worry about yet. And sure enough, we saw that it was, you know, nothing to really worry about, but you know, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'll get into more when we talk spoilers, I guess.
Okay. A lot was made on the episode tonight about how Christmas had a brain fart about how she ended up picking Alex to play in the veto, or didn't pick Alex to play in the veto, picked Raven. Alex Kidwell, was there anything that was underhanded to that decision?
Not really. I mean, I think that she, you know, I do believe that she just in the moment thought like, she's just trying to mix it up and have like all different kinds of competitors in there or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's just, you know, another example of people just not really thinking things through this season. And yeah, I mean, she used the ringer replacement on Cody. She totally didn't need to do that. I mean, that's something she could still have to use right now if she wanted. So yeah. It's not necessarily like we've seen a ton of great decisions from her.
Danielle in the chat says it's called medication.
Yeah. She's just kind of spacey this season. Not really her fault.
John is asking, who shed lots of tears, Meech or Josh? And Mr. Robot Terrence is, as an expert on crying, who does Meech think is the best crier of the season, Josh, Mark, or Cody?
Oh, Mark. Hands down, Mark.
Mark is the best crier?
Yeah.
Why don't you root for Mark, Meech?
He just seems like an overall good guy. There's never any like malice with him, and he genuinely does love the game, and he is willing to go against the wave at times, not necessarily in the beginning, but now towards the end he is. I don't know. He's just a likable guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take a question. Jason W., Inside Baseball, Inquiring Minds want to know, does the Zingbot voice come from a speaker in the robot or get piped in over the house speakers?
Yeah. House speakers. Okay,
it's not actually coming from the Zingbot himself.
No, yeah.
That's a good question. Yeah, I wanted to
know.
Yeah,
because it was weird. I remember when we heard like the Zingbot, like I was sleeping in the Have Not room and it comes over the speakers like, Zingbot! So we didn't even see him. We just heard that at first.
Yeah.
So it's really just a guy like just miming in front of you.
Now, is it recorded ahead of time? Like, are the Zingbot lines like in the can, or is at least the Zingbot voice doing it live?
It's doing it live, so it's like, yeah, it's live.
Yeah. Okay. People are saying in the chat it's not a real robot. I think that we may need to fact check that.
We're kind of idiots. Think that it's a real robot.
Wait, are you sure about that?
Yeah. In fairness, my son said to me, "I don't think that's a real robot, Dad."
No, it's plastic.
That's real. Yeah. Christina Z says, let's say Paul won BB 18 instead of Nicole. Do you think they still would have brought a vet back for BB 19? And if so, who? So, Michelle, you know, you did cast your vote for Paul to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Had one other person cast their vote to win for Paul, would they have brought Paul back for BB 19?
No.
Okay. So who should we blame for this? Davon?
Yes.
Okay. So don't hate
on Paul. I love you,
Dave,
but
blame Davon. Yeah, this could have been fun. Would they have brought Nicole back for this season?
I don't think so. I think that Paul's in LA. He was great entertainment. He had all these catchphrases. I mean, he's an entertaining guy, and he's a showman, as Cody likes to say.
Yeah. Latasha says, would they have brought back Victor?
I don't think so.
Maybe they would have brought you in, Meech.
Nah, I don't think so.
Could have been you with all these newbies.
Right? I would have had an advantage, too.
Yeah.
And I would have had some people to cry with.
All right. Miriam says, do you have a zing for a current house guest? I know that they did a bunch on the morning update with Brent and Lita and Taryn this morning. Meech, do you have a zing for anybody?
What was it? Something about like Zingbot being like, something about Zingbot announcing a new disease for Raven or something that.
She doesn't need any more ideas. Alex, were you sitting on any?
Nope. Sorry, I'm not. But I did, Rob, I don't know if you saw the other day that hypochondria on Wikipedia was, somebody had changed the page to say like, hypochondria, also known as this, or Raven's disorder.
Wow.
So great.
Too soon.
That's like a next level. This is really taking on a life of its own.
Travis wants to know, what would a Cody zing have sounded like? I mean, that Cody would have, just had like a stone face reaction to a zing.
Cody, I don't know.
Probably
who
something
robot
about him being
is.
Creepy.
Me or you? There you go.
Yes. Yes. I've never
crappy
related
zings
to somebody
by me
in the house more than Cody. this is from Katanga. Michelle, what are your thoughts on Paul's assertion that James would have beaten him last year? Were Zolly and Day pro James? Yeah, Paul has said this on the live feeds where he said that he had no choice but to bring Nicole. He knew James would do very well with the jury, and that was why he didn't make a mistake so much as he figured that he had a better chance to beat Nicole, and he didn't want to lose to James because he didn't think that James was a worthy player.
Every time Paul talks about the voting and whatever, he would have won against James. The only people that would have voted for him are me and Natalie.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is interesting, you know. I mean, a lot of times juries vote for who they think is the most worthy player, and Paul was sitting there thinking, like, I don't want to bring James because I don't see him as a worthy player. Well, it's like, if you don't see him that way, maybe a lot of other people don't see him that way, you know? I don't think he really thought that all the way through.
Yeah. I mean, I was there finale night. He wasn't saying that night.
Wait.
He was saying, never cared. No big deal.
Oh my gosh.
I don't care. Whatever. Yeah.
Do you guys know is it true that James and Caleb are hosting a comp? I've been seeing that.
I did see something about that, but I didn't know. Like, it was just, it seemed completely unverified.
Right. Yeah. I have seen that rumor on social media, but I mean, unless they're leaking it to people, I mean, it's not like something has been filmed or anything like that. I could see both those guys leaking something like
that. James, please no. What if it's the hide and go veto competition?
Yeah, that would be something.
That's the worst comp
those
in
two
Big
guys,
Brother. I freaking hate that. I'm not watching it.
We'll see. We'll see what happens with both of those guys. Maybe it's setting up for a Candy Crush return for Beast Mode Cowboy.
I will say, like, usually, I think it is kind of telling about this season. Like, usually the rumor mill is really active before the season. And then once the season starts, people have feeds and stuff to talk about. So nobody's really talking about like rumors of anything. So I think the fact that this season has been so slow that we're talking about like, oh, you hear maybe James and Caleb are going in there. Like, I think that's pretty right. Pretty bad sign.
I just don't know what they would host. They're going to come in and host the HOH competition? No, you have Julie for that this week to host an HOH competition. So are we talking about they're going to come into the house and host this weekend's veto competition?
No, I think Michelle made a good call. That hide and go, like they're both like pranksters, right? Like that hide and go veto competition. That's kind of fitting. Okay. It'd be like come in and be like a regular like comedy.
Or was
Caleb
good at endurance?
I guess
I don't remember.
Not from what I've seen on Survivor.
Oh yeah,
but he did the one thing he did come back to host was that like karate competition where he was just like, I think they just wanted him to like chop things wildly.
Was that like the final four or final five in Big Brother 17?
Yeah. It was like when they'll do, sometimes it's like boxing up to a number of days or whatever. That time was like chopping.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This is from Matthew. The Woj wants us to ask, how does Zingbot not call for Matt to have his picture on the box of Breakfast of Loser Zing? Yeah. Maybe they could have done something with Matt of like, Matt, when you're eating breakfast and cereal all day, I'm sure you recognize your game on the back of a milk carton. You could do that. All right. Scott St. Pierre needs to get out of here. Let me just do some plugs and then we'll talk about the live feeds. So check out some new podcasts on the Rehab Ups right now. In addition to the brilliant coverage of the very fun Australian Survivor second season. Look, I was not a huge fan of Australian Survivor season one. Season two has been great. Also, check out America's Player, Eric Stein, in a very frank and revealing interview on this week's Taryn show. I thought Eric Stein did a really great job. Plus, we've got new episodes of our American Ninja Warrior Rehab Up and Challenge Rehab Up on our reality TV Rehab Ups. And then be sure to join Taryn once again, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific for the next Big Brother Overnight Update. And breaking news, we're going to have a friend of the podcast, Aubrey, is going to be on the eviction recap. Taryn is going to be filling in for me. I'll be in Salt Lake City. So look for Aubrey to come in and guest and get her take. She has been blogging about the season for Entertainment Weekly all season long on Sunday night. So very excited to have Aubrey here on the podcast. All right. And I think that Scott, Godspeed on the awards tonight, and then we'll see how it goes. We're not the odds makers have us as a long shot for this one. We'll see what happens overnight. All right. Great stuff. Thanks so much, Scott. You guys ready to talk some live feeds, Alex? Okay.
Let's do it.
Here we go. Live feeds coming up now.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. All right. Big Meech, you ready for live feeds?
I kind of need Alex to tell. I work full time now, so I don't really have a lot of time, but.
Are you ready, Meechball?
Meechball.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, lucky for you, nobody's doing it.
Yeah, yeah. No, don't worry. You can work. You can pick up a second shift, Meech. That's fine. What are you doing now?
I'm a dietitian in a hospital.
Okay, congratulations on that.
Yeah.
Yes, that maybe you can work with Raven when she gets out of the house.
Yeah, fun fact, I deal with patients that have gastroparesis, and none of them are really dying, and none of them have a pacemaker, so.
Okay, well, maybe that you can come in and bring this news to Raven. She'd be very excited that you could come in. And
oh, no, she wouldn't be excited at all. Are you kidding? No. Someone like that, you throw it in their face that they're not as bad as they think they are?
Well, again, we
no, they're going to get a second
not,
opinion.
Only Meech here is the only health professional here. Alex and I are amateurs, so we're only speculating on what we see on live feeds. All right.
But I play one on YouTube.
All right, Alex, so. What's the latest from the feeds? Any movement for poor Mark?
No, I mean, you know, it's borderline insulting that at the, you know, there was multiple, you know, Christmas DRs this episode that had me wanting to, you know, pull out the hair I already don't have. But like the main one, like, you know, first she's talking about like, I need Paul to go ahead and win this so I can keep control. Like, you don't have control. You're not going to have control. No, and it, if you decided to change up the plan, Mark would still go home. Like, let's not pretend anything different. And then at the end, she's like talking about how, but, you know, Matt is there and he's part of a power couple. So if I want to take the shot, the opportunity is like, no, if you want to take the shot and Paul says, no, that's not going to happen. So let's not pretend otherwise. And yeah, ultimately that's just, you know, an insult to our intelligence because Mark is always going, I mean, give him some credit cause he is trying. He's not just rolling over and dying. I expected him to just go to sleep cause I don't think there's really much for him to do, but yeah, I mean, he went and tried to talk to Christmas and Josh Sunday and Monday today. He's really trying to make a pitch to, you know, to Alex and to Jason. I think, you know, everyone else in the house, he's just really, it's unfortunate that everyone in the house who might have flipped, you know, the way to flip, the only option now is to flip against Matt and Raven. And it's become painfully obvious to everyone now, as it has been to us on the outside for a few weeks, just how clueless, just how oblivious Matt and Raven are. So everyone is recognizing that, like, man, if we could keep Matt and Raven around until we get rid of the people that are even paying attention, like, this is a cakewalk. Yeah. And they're not wrong, necessarily.
You mentioned something beforehand saying that Matt and Raven were kind of, like, being iced out.
Yeah, well, so the thing I was talking about with the idea of, like, right, like, if the power couples were to turn on each other, like, how can he maintain that? The thing that Paul's already done, and really today and yesterday, like, a lot of work was put in. And, I, you know, a lot of it he didn't even have to do. It's just, like, other people seeing how kind of obvious it is that Matt and Raven are just hooking up and not paying attention and not really playing. And that Raven just seems like such a non-threat and everyone is talking and like they all kind of don't believe a lot of her stories. Like Raven has just been going on for too long about too many different things. Like she's reached like Boy Who Cried Wolf territory a bit where like even Jason on feeds like an hour ago was just saying like, if at the end of the season we find out that Raven is a liar and doesn't have all these, it'll be the first time I hit a woman and stuff like that. Like people are really like, it's just like,
that one back.
Yeah, no. Well, you know how the conversation just gets worse and worse as like every, so it's just been like circles of people talking about like how they don't necessarily believe Raven, but it's really undermines Raven's credibility. And I think everyone realizes like Raven really can't win this game. If they were to get rid of Matt, they feel like Raven wouldn't know what to do with herself. So, you know, that's great for Paul. If he can convince the couple of Christmas and Josh and the couple of Alex and Jason that like, hey, a final four with you two and me and Raven is what we want, then like, man, he's in really good shape at that point. Cause the first like big hurdle that you were talking about, which, you know, finding a way to get rid of one of those couples without angering the others is cleared.
I actually think that Raven might come alive a little bit if we see Matt go out of the house. I just think that maybe she's lulled into this position. Well, I should be even more alive, Meech. Yes. That I feel like that she, to me, is somebody who feels like, okay, well, I'm going to, like, she's oblivious, but she feels like, okay, well, Matt's going to give up the game for me and Paul's going to give up the game for me. She doesn't feel like she needs to fight. I wonder if her back was against the wall, if we might see her just go loco.
What accent will we hear?
Is that possible, Alex?
Yeah, it's possible. You know, I mean, I think she doesn't have like the skill to do anything, but yeah, I mean,
but
think
if she thought that money was getting away from her, do you think that would wake her up?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but I think we've seen kind of like, I think a good example, like maybe like Big Jesse in Big Brother 15, like, you know, she was good with the plan until all of a sudden like, whoa, I'm on the block and I'm, you know, and then she snapped, but she didn't know how to, you know, it's like the whole, like, you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar kind of thing. Like, she lost the potential votes with her reaction, and then when she was trying to do any damage control, it was kind of too late. So I worry that that would be the path for Raven, is she would freak out on everybody, make everyone mad with her reaction, and then, like, a couple days later, 3 days later, when she realized she has to campaign for votes, come back and say, oh, I'm sorry. But at that point, I think they're all going to be like, you know, Alex is an emotional player. A lot of these people are emotional players, and Paul is fueling that fire and convincing them to play emotionally because it works to his benefit.
Like a really
emotional person. That's
right. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Me and Big Meech want to talk about Bracelet Gate, Alex.
Bracelet Gate.
Cool. Sounds good. Not really.
Can you set up Bracelet Gate?
So, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I guess you got to give Raven this, right? It was such a boring week. I mean, there's nothing going on. And at least, you know, created drama out of nothing last night. So you got to give her that. Raven's bracelet, who I guess was given to her by a friend with the same disease who, I don't know, did she say she passed away? I can't even remember now. She went on for so long about this friend and the bracelet and how much it meant to her. And she couldn't find it. And she was just hysterical. I mean, it just was driving her nuts. It like a whole house-wide search ensued where everyone's looking for the bracelet and everyone's like concerned for it. And I think, you know, this is part of what contributed to now today they're all kind of fed up with Raven. It's like, you only have so much of this and people have to be around you all the time, where eventually people are just like, boy, I'm kind of tired of dealing with Raven's like craziness every day. And yeah, I mean, eventually they found her bracelet behind like the coffee maker. Like, it was, you know, it was somewhere not hard to find, but it took hours to find. And then really the important thing that came out of it was like Paul was able to somehow spin it into conversations about how, like, I think Kevin probably hit it. And then people were able to, like, you know, jump on that. Like, yeah, maybe Kevin hit it. Kevin has been acting really weird. That seems like something Kevin would do. Yeah, like, I think
he would hide a bracelet under the coffee maker.
Yeah, of course. That's totally something Kevin would do. I totally see the reason and the logic behind it. Yeah, right.
Bet Raven hit it for attention. So, I mean, didn't she hide the cat ears?
Yeah, it could be. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Okay.
She probably hit her own bracelet.
Another probably not as pleasant discovery was made of Raven's stuff as well.
Oh, God.
Yeah. In the house.
I saw this clip. I'm updated on this.
Yes, I did see this clip as well, making the rounds. So there were some discarded prophylactics found in the nightstand. What were they looking for? Why? How did this come up from Raven and Matt, from Maven?
It just, you know, I mean, it's not that big a house. There's not that
many
places.
There's a lot of trash cans.
And what are you
though?
Doing? Just like leaving that stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of trash cans. You could take care of that. But this is something like, I mean, we haven't gotten into it on the podcast, but, you know, Matt has like used, you know, kitchen towels in unsanitary manners late at night a couple times, you know, when no one's around. I mean, they're really going at it in there. And then the crazy part is that in the last few days, it really has been like people talking, Paul and Christmas especially, about like how, you know, ridiculous it was that like Cody and Jessica would be having sex in there and Raven would just be like, ha, I know, right? And it's just like,
yeah,
Raven, everyone knows that like you guys are banging in there all day. Like, it's just.
So what has been the opinion of the other house guests about this discovery? Then I did see the YouTube clip of this.
Disgust?
I mean, yeah, right. It's just, it's confirmation of what they already knew, you know? I mean, now they
have,
there
like, a confrontation of, hey, guys, this
proof.
Is not cool. This is not appropriate.
Not really. It's just more like, you know, behind closed doors now, they're like, yeah, Matt and Raven are really, like, Paul right now is saying stuff like, I thought it was an act, but now I realize Matt and Raven really are clueless as hell. Like, I mean, it's just becoming, it's actually in a weird way good for their games, because like the people were thinking like, oh, they're sketchy. I don't know what they're doing. Matt, he never talks. Like, I think that means he's
smart. Exhausted.
He's up to something. Like, no, now they're realizing Matt never talks because his head is just so not in the game. Like, lately, all he does talk about is like he said something today about like, during the jury roundtable, if Cody tries to say anything, I will lose it on him. It's like, dude, you're already like saying you're going to be at the jury roundtable. Like, what? This is so embarrassing.
He
why
says
are
anything
you
about what?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Towel?
Why? It's just like, right. Like, you're projecting yourself as a loser. Like, there's
isn't,
so much.
Don't you
I have
know
wrong,
him in
there's
real
so
life?
Much wrong with that.
Is that
statement.
You?
No.
Alex right. got him on the show. Alex,
that's
Alex
he,
was
Alex
the one that he
on
leveraged his
too.
Relationship with Robin Cass.
That's
to get
why he won
on
all
show.
Three Denim Temptations.
No,
too,
I have a mutual. I have a mutual friend.
Yes, you.
Yeah, no, I am. I'm disappointed, man. I knew a lot of just sharks over at where Matt works, like just really aggressive, successful salespeople, and I just, you know. I mean, if my buddy was any indication, he said, like, man, Matt is great with the ladies. And I'm like, check. All right, well, as a salesperson, like that, there's like, I think one woman that works there out of like 100 people. So
did,
I know he's great with the fellas.
Did your buddy
so
see
I thought he would
him
do well,
like,
but
dating Ray or like being with Raven? Like, is that like Matt's type of girl or what? Because that couple's weird to me.
He said Matt would His type of girl is a girl with a pulse. He said Matt was getting in a show. He was getting in at least one showmance this summer. And I think, you know, if anything, I think Reddit is probably spot on when they say, like, that Matt is probably in this relationship for as long as until, like, some groupie jumps him at the after party. I don't know that he's really.
So you don't think that Maven is going to last outside of the house? That is your expert opinion?
Players got to play, man. They don't live anywhere near each other, and Matt is...
No, and once he sees everything online and just the stuff that spews out of her mouth and all that stuff, mm-mm.
Yeah, also, right. I mean, they think she's a fan favorite in there. Like, he's standing up during his eviction speech saying, like, wear green, gastroparesis awareness month. Like, if he would have found out that everyone's laughing about that and not like, oh, yeah, Matt's, like, really, like, championing a cause, and that's noble, and I respect that. Like,
you're wrong,
he would,
Alex. You're wrong. You're wrong. It's going to work out. I think, Meech, I predict this Thanksgiving we're getting a real engagement. I think it's going to be Maven is going to...
Are you having Jessica on again? We need to push this proposal. If Paul does win...
What, the Cody and Jessica?
No, I want
Matt
Jessica and Cody.
Yes, why? Were you Jessica and Cody
fans? I like
fans?
Them together, yeah. They were the underdog, and I mean, you know, there's always some controversy, but...
I love how everyone has to qualify it, right? It's like, yeah, I liked them. Yeah, you know, I mean, there was the controversy, but, you know, it's... You have to say it, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, let's predict where we're going to go from here. So it looks like Mark is going to go home, barring a act of God at this point. And so Mark goes out, but then things are going to get a little tricky. Meech, could you forecast the next HOH?
I predict Jason or Alex winning again and sending Kevin home. I think Kevin's next.
Really? That you think that Kevin would go out on a Jason HOH? Alex, does this seem likely?
It's definitely possible. I think, yeah, I mean, you know, you're running out of targets. And I think that Paul is going to do everything in his power to keep Christmas, Josh, him, Jason, Alex intact as a five. I think, you know, I could see Matt going out now, too. I could see them going after Matt and Raven with the full emphasis on taking out Matt. But if somehow Matt were to get off the block, I feel like they wouldn't want to lose Raven because they're now of the mindset that Raven really is, you know, an easy out later down in the game. So I think the fact that Kevin is even, you know, he's got one eye open in the land of the blind. And I think at this point, that's enough to make
you
a huge target.
It's Josh's best friend.
Yeah.
Remember this segment?
The owl.
That was the best Big Brother segment ever. Right.
So, it feels like so long ago.
For me, I feel like the last hope that I have for there being some really big fireworks down the stretch is that when one of these pairs ends up on the block and then they're not taken down to backdoor somebody at the veto, could we potentially then see that pair go nuts and lose it on Paul and say, hey, Paul, how come this plan that we've been talking about didn't work? And the remaining member of the pair will be left there, knowing all the conversations they had with Paul. Meech, what percentage chance
20%.
Do you give this?
20%. I can't see anyone lashing 20%. Out at Paul. I just can't see it.
And I think the biggest problem is that, you know, he, like I said, he's really done the legwork already. While Matt and Raven have been hooking up and playing hide the condom.
New veto.
Paul has really been like, he's really been like, that's the new video. Paul's really been setting everyone against them in the proper path for him to succeed. I mean, because it really is like, it's a situation where they're going to get rid of Matt and they're going to leave Raven around. And even if Raven is mad, like Raven and Matt are just so misguided at this point in terms of where they stand in the house. They really think they're in it for the long haul with Paul and like Alex. They think they have like a final four there. Raven, like, she's had conversations with Alex like all the time, and she just talked to Paul like, I really feel like me and Alex have like a sisterly relationship, or like, you know, she's like, we're really close. I even think like Alex would, if I needed her to, she would step down in a wall competition for me. And like later, like 5 minutes later, Paul's laughing about this with Christmas. Like, Alex can't freaking stand Raven. It's so funny to me that she thinks this. So, I mean, maintaining that, Raven thinking that Alex is her BFF when Alex in reality just wants nothing to do with her and will cut her as soon as Paul like gives her the, like allows her to do so. I mean, that's, when you have that degree of discrepancy, nothing's going to ever change.
Okay.
Yes or no? What percent chance of a jury buyback?
I think it's zero. Julie said there's going to be no jury buyback this season. She said it.
She did say it on
On the live show. I think
was it when Cody went home?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then maybe like some people they'll just, change their mind. They expect the unexpected.
I mean, there's still nine people in the house, and the finale is in 27 days.
What I read somewhere is that she had said there's no jury buyback competition. So people were thinking maybe it's like going to be a vote, maybe.
Mm.
Okay, so you think that America could vote somebody out? Could you imagine like
Cody comes back again
in the next week?
The new victor. Like,
no, well, Paul comes back. So we'll see. Let's see. Let me ask you a couple more questions. Jessica has a question, Alex. Do we know why they've been on lockdown for so long this week? We got to record the segment with Cody and James.
I mean, yeah, well, there's just been, there's been varying things. I mean, there's been a lot of different, like, the feeds went down for the whole Derek thing. And then, that competition, the slip and slide competition, as we've seen on feeds, takes a long, long time. And then, I imagine now, like, they're locked in the house because they're, building something for Thursday and, probably doing some other stuff beyond that. I mean, they want to, start setting up for, they've still got like this, Apple twist or whatever going on. So I don't know. They're doing stuff.
Okay. Let me ask you this question, Meech. This is from Dylan Borger. Hey, Meech, I love you. Do you think anybody can beat Paul in Final Two this season?
Out of the people that are left, maybe Kevin, but that's it. Maybe Jason because of the kid thing, but I don't know.
Alex, do you agree or disagree with those?
Yeah. Picks? Yeah. No, I mean, it's tough to see. I think if Kevin got there, he would have had to kind of fight his way there. And I think at that point, that would be respected. So, yeah, I think Kevin's a solid choice because, yeah, he's not in Paul's endgame plan. So something would have had to change. It depends. It depends. If, we talked about it on one of the shows and Taryn made an interesting point just kind of when he was looking at the votes that, there's a possibility, like an outside possibility that I really don't think like, I think we could see Josh potentially cutting Paul at Final Three if Christmas is there with him. But I don't know that we could see a scenario where somebody besides
Kevin
really
could
beat him
in Final Two. Like out of respect or you know what I mean? Like out of respect for the game and like for Paul, or do we think that he'd still be bitter at Paul? That's what I
get
I was
the feeling
thinking.
He'd vote for Paul. That I mean, it's not like other people in the house, especially the people that'll probably be there with him down at the end, are doing things that separate them from Paul. You know, that's the thing. It's like, yes, Paul was the bad guy, but they were all just lackeys. So they're no less culpable. And in a way, they look weaker because they didn't actually pull the trigger.
I think Cody would vote for Kevin.
Yeah,
over Paul.
Kevin.
I think Kevin would be the one guy who was there at the end. And then he would invite Cody and Jess for Thanksgiving dinner. Oh, yeah. We'll go. That you guys are going to get engaged during Thanksgiving dinner, too. Yeah. That's great.
This has been a much, much hyped Thanksgiving dinner. I hope he live streams it.
Yeah, all the Big Brother contestants get hyped for Thanksgiving now. They never know what.
Oh, we all see each other all the time. We all go visit each other, just
pranks.
Like you said in the house.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Big Meech, great job tonight. Anything else you want to say about Big Brother 19?
Not really.
Yeah, okay. Have you been impressed with this season or thumbs down?
Thumbs up in the beginning. The beginning was amazing, but as for now, I'm going to go with, do you think if it's a Raven Paul final two that it would go down in history as one of the worst seasons of Big Brother? Because I've seen it as top like three lowest seasons.
I've already seen people talk about how it's kind of, it's down in that section. I think it would be flirting with that territory. I think it's hard to top Big Brother 9 and some of these other, seasons that are just remembered as being so bad that people tell you not even to watch them if you're getting into the show. But we'll see.
Yeah. I think we just need to change our perspective at this point, because I think to me it's now about, you know, can Paul just keep all these plates spinning throughout this and see if ultimately it'll come crashing down on him. And I think that we just have to start, instead of like framing it like, can somebody stop him? Can he pull this off? I think is maybe the only way to make at least have some drama. Sorry, Meech.
Yeah, but you know.
He probably will.
3 years ago, week three, I was like, oh, Derek's winning this thing, huh?
Yeah.
And then I watched it anyway.
Yeah, we'll see.
Apparently, Derek was like, he said something on the way out of the house. Like, did you guys see that?
Yeah. Somebody actually tweeted Rob and I about this and asked if like we had a problem with it, which is like just Derek did. He said he like pointed at the word money, right? Because they have all these power words on the wall this year. Mm-hmm. Pointed at money and said, like, don't forget what you guys are playing for this year. Like, you know, it's something like that. And,
no, that's a good point. That's a good point because, yeah, that I mean, I do think that all of the really self-interested play that we've seen this week is probably a direct result of all the players now suddenly playing really hard because Derek said that. And now that's why this season is and this week has been so great because everybody's now really woken up.
Don't be results oriented, Rob.
They wouldn't shut up about Derek in my season, and they bring him back this season. They talk about him all again.
Right. Yeah, but, like, even so, I mean, I don't think he said anything. It's not like he said, like, don't forget what you guys are playing for and stop being babies and following Paul. Like, he didn't, like, really.
He could have said that.
Very
vague. He could have walked in the house and like, hey, guys, just so you know, Paul's really running the show around here, so make sure you vote him out. All right, I'm out. Nothing would have changed.
I've been liking a lot of Derek's tweets lately. He's pretty anti-Paul.
He's good on Twitter. Okay. Well, I think
he's trying to avoid, you know, I think he sees the possibility that if Paul were to win, if nothing changes and Paul were to win on this same trajectory, that people are going to start asking.
Right. Like is Paul
who's better,
than
you or Paul? And right. I don't think he wants to entertain that question for a minute. So he's getting ahead of this one.
Well, I would love to talk to Derek about his take on everything this season. It would be very fun to get his opinion on all of that. So hopefully down the stretch, we could talk to Derek again on the podcast. All right. Big Meech, follow her on Twitter. Michelle, what is your handle right now?
From my lovely sisters. I still have the same one.
Okay, Michelle MBB18.
18, yeah.
There you go.
I wish they were watching this season and they could tweet about it because apparently their tweets were gold last year.
Yeah, they were on fleek.
Yeah.
Yes. Meech, what's going on? Did you have anything you wanted to tell people to check out?
Oh, yes. So I will be having some new products on Meech Bay.
What is Meech Bay? What is Meech Bay?
My eBay.
Okay.
So
that's your user account?
What?
That's your user account on eBay?
I don't remember what it is.
Okay, just, so you just call when you put something on eBay, Meech Bay.
Yeah.
Love you, Meech Bay.
I should make it that.
Yes.
But at Hearts of Reality, I got some loot for you guys, if you guys are interested in purchasing.
The loot train
Survivor
left.
Fans.
Okay.
We have Adam Klein's lanyard.
Adam
and we have
Klein's-
Jay's lanyard.
Okay, now what do lanyards go for anything on Meech Bay?
I don't know. I just joked about it. We'll
find out what the market is, Rob.
We'll find out what the market
is. Boy,
this
is
like taking Pablo out of the house.
Oh, I know, right? I hope someone steals something.
Hope somebody steals something and then puts it up on Meech Bay. All right, so if you need some lanyards, if you want to walk around with Adam Klein's credential, is Adam Klein and who? Jay?
Yeah.
Okay. So those are some good. What about Adam Pock? You have an Adam Pock lanyard?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Those are tough to come by.
Yeah.
They make the strap
they're
out
like,
of bacon.
Yeah. They're bacon scratch and sniff. I was going to say.
Okay.
Bacon. How much do you think Paul's sweatpants will go for these? I have a pair of his sweatpants.
Probably
though.
Hold on to them. I think that that's a hole.
Value
a
will
hole.
Go
yeah,
up.
Wait, he wins,
take them to the finale. Get him to sign them. If they're like black sweatpants, use one of those like white Sharpies or silver Sharpies.
Perfect.
And then slap that up on the Meech Bay.
Are you guys going to finale?
I would say probably more
TBD.
More likely than unlikely. We'll see.
Oh, you haven't decided yet. It's like in a month, bro.
Okay. Well, I gotta see if I got invited first, Meech.
Oh, they're gonna invite you.
We'll see. We'll see how I did this season.
They did send you props from last season, so you
props.
Think that's a good
you got props?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got Glenn's coconut at his house.
Yeah.
I could have sold it for you, Rob. I could have made some money.
Yeah. Let me just turn it around and flip it for you.
You know, I sold one of those. You know how much it went for? $120.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Damn. Sitting on a gold mine over here.
That thing is not worth that.
Glenn's coconut.
I played with it.
It's like a
Who else do you still talk to from BB18?
Pretty much everyone, except Victor no longer talks to me. I think because I think because he's dating Nicole now. Dating. Okay. Talked to Day. I talked to Glenn. I talked to Jose. I mean, very like Jose and Glenn very sporadically, but I talked to Natalie Bronte every day, Tiffany a lot. Yeah.
Are a lot of people from BB18 not watching this season?
No, I think more are than aren't. I'm usually the one that people come for updates, though.
I said, Michelle, what's going on?
Oh, yeah. Tiffany just texted me like before the show and was like, what were the zings? I missed them. So.
Okay. All right. Well, great job on the podcast. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Michelle. Hopefully we won't go too long without hearing from you again.
Yeah.
And great job, Alex Kidwell, as well. People were wondering if your dog was okay, Alex.
Aww. Yeah, he's fine. He just they sleep hard. See, look, he's moving around now.
Yeah. Okay. So
we went out for like a long walk in the California sun, and they get very tuckered out.
You live in California now?
I do.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's all happening.
So yeah, I'm sure you know, I'll probably find my way to some finale after bar, if nothing else.
Can I ask how you guys watched the episode then? Doesn't it air it like an
we
hour
can talk
later?
About that off
okay, sorry.
Sidebar sorry. Big Meech on that. Okay. All right. Have a great night, everybody. Be sure to check out Aubrey on the podcast on Thursday night. And then on Sunday, we have the big Game of Thrones finale. It's an 80-minute finale. And we're just going to, instead of trying to do the show later and later, we're just going to, I'll do the show with Taryn as part of the live feed update on Monday morning. So no live show coming up on Sunday night for BB19. We will talk about the episode and the live feeds all on Monday morning as part of the BB update on Monday. All right, everybody, have a great night. Do we have a hashtag tonight, Meech? hashtag Meech Bay?
I was thinking more along the lines of Raven being a clown, something like that, or one of the zings, but I don't know.
Okay.
Harsh Zingbot. I don't know.
Harsh Zingbot. All right. No. Have a good night, everybody. Take care. Bye.